Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, happy Monday to you. Welcome back to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. It's good to have you here. I'm Jason Mastrodonato from the Boston Herald, longtime Red Sox reporter, columnist at the Herald now. And a little programming note, if you haven't noticed, Lauren Campbell, my co-host from Nesson, and I have started doing a little more separated shows. So I do some on my own, she does some on her own. We're still going to do some together. We're just breaking it up a little bit because it's easier to get more episodes to you that way. So thanks for coming back. Thanks for listening. The Red Sox had an interesting weekend against the White Sox. And could be a three-way tie. I'm recording this on Sunday night. If you're listening on Monday, you'll know by the time the Yankees will have finished their game against the Mets. But there could be a three-way tie if the Yankees win. They're down 5-2 right now, so you'll have to check that out for the wild card spot. So it's getting interesting. It's getting really, really interesting. And Alex Cora had some interesting comments after the game on Sunday that I want to talk about and just kind of get a gauge on what is a success for this year's Red Sox team and what is a failure. Because I'm seeing a lot of things on Twitter and I'm hearing things from people I just talked to, Red Sox fans, people in Boston, about what their expectations were coming into the season and should you just be happy with whatever happens. And so that's what I want to talk about today is what do you think a successful season is for the Red Sox? Because they're right now what they're doing, I think is turning a lot of people off. And so we're going to cover all that today. It should be an interesting discussion. This episode is brought to you by the Locked On MLB podcast. You can check that out. Paul Francis Sullivan and his crew break down everything that's going on in Major League Baseball. So check on the Locked On MLB podcast for more MLB talk. So the Red Sox, if you look at what's happened since the trade deadline. I know we keep saying that word trade deadline. Why are we still talking about it? September 13th. Why are we still talking about the trade deadline? Well, I'm talking about it today, not because we're going to rehash the trades or not trades, but because if you look what the Red Sox have done since then, they have played 7 series against teams with a 500 or better record. They've played 7 series against teams that currently have a 500 or better record since the All-Star break. Do you know how many of those series the Red Sox have won? 0. They've won 0 of them. They've tied 1. There's a 4-game series with Tampa. They split 2-2. And they've lost 6. So against the teams that they are competing against or will be playing if they make it to the playoffs, they're getting smoked. They've gone 6-17 in those games. Again, 0 wins, 6 losses, 1 tie in the 7 series against teams that are currently 500 or better. So the reason I'm talking about this today is because I thought the Red Sox played fine this weekend. You know, they lose the series 2-1 overall. The Sunday score was a 2-1 loss. I thought they played fine. There wasn't anything particularly terrible or particularly good about the way they played. The White Sox, I think, are probably a better team than them, but I don't know. They match up pretty good against them. If there's a 5-game series against the White Sox, it's the playoffs. I think you feel fine if you're the Red Sox. You feel like you got a good chance to knock out the White Sox. They've got some good pitching. You know, they've got some really good pitching. That bullpen, when they upgraded with Tapara from the Cubs, and then the next day they went out and got Kimbrel from the Cubs. That's a scary bullpen. Now, the Red Sox got to Kimbrel on Sunday, but Kimbrel, the White Sox used Kimbrel all 3 games in the series. Like, do you think he went into Tony La Russa's office and said, listen, this team, I don't like them. They let me walk into free agency. They didn't even let me close out the World Series. Chris Sale closed out the final game. Let me stick it to this team. Bring me in every game this series. Let me pitch to these guys. So Kimbrel pitches all 3 games. He was fantastic on Friday night. Huge inning against the heart of the order to shut that down on Friday night. All 3 games decided by 1 run, by the way. So again, a close series, and yeah, of course, the Red Sox are missing guys right now. JD Martinez didn't play all series. He's got back spasms because he spent 2 weeks in the outfield because they acquired Kyle Schwarber, who was pretty much a DH only until about a week and a half ago. So JD Martinez was playing the outfield for pretty much 2 weeks. The reason why they don't like that is because he often gets back spasms, and that's exactly what happened. So JD misses the entire series with back spasms. Chris Sale was supposed to start this series. He's out with COVID. Closer Matt Barnes out with COVID. Go down the list. You know, they got 14 guys who have been on the COVID list in the last two weeks. It's like every day they add one. Sunday they added another one. Felix Valdez is out with COVID now. It's just every day it's someone else. You know, and I'm not going to get into it. It's not worth talking about anymore. They're the least vaccinated, one of the three least vaccinated teams in MLB. We know the stats. We know the science. It spreads like wildfire. If you're not vaccinated, it spreads like crazy. That's what's happening in the Red Sox clubhouse right now. So I don't think anybody feels sorry for this team that they have so many guys with COVID right now. I don't think anyone feels bad. I think they made their bed and they're sleeping in it. So they're out a lot of guys. So if you look at it and you say, well, a playoff series, they're going to have their guys back. Yeah, the White Sox probably going to push a little bit harder. I don't think they played their best players. You know, I thought Tony La Russa managed this series like he wanted to win every game. But if you look at the bottom of the order, I think they used some guys that are not going to be used in a playoff series, and they're missing their star shortstop right now. So it's not like the White Sox are fully stocked and loaded either. So I thought this was a pretty good representation of what a series between these two teams could look like. And again, I think they match up perfectly fine. The Red Sox have 81 wins. The White Sox have 82 wins. Pretty close team. Pretty close, I would say, in talent. Just pretty close all around. So the Red Sox lose 2 out of 3. And after the game, Alex Cora says, "We played good baseball. I think we're playing good baseball." Hey, but you lost. You know, you lost another series, and you guys are now tied for the Blue Jays, who caught you. And if the Yankees went on Sunday, tied with the Yankees, who have been playing terribly but are still hanging on. And the Seattle Mariners are only 3 behind you, and guess what you got next? 3 games against the Seattle Mariners. And Cora says, "We're playing good baseball. We didn't hit. Lance Lynn pitched really well. We didn't hit. We're going to hit better, but we're playing good baseball." Are they? Are they playing good baseball? Because they haven't beaten a good team in almost 2 months. They haven't went out and won a series against a good team in 6 weeks. 7 weeks almost. So how do you say they're playing good baseball? They're 6-17 against teams with a winning record in the last 6 weeks. Yeah, they're doing what they need to be doing against the Cleveland Indians and the Minnesota Twins and the Texas Rangers. And they've got 9 out of the 11 games they have left are easy. 9 out of the 11 against the Orioles and Nationals. And then 2 against the Mets, who really aren't playing great either. Below 500 Mets entering Sunday, who are kind of in a wild card chase. They're in the NL East, I mean, kind of. So it's an easy schedule for the Red Sox. They got 3 against the Mariners. They got 3 against the Yankees coming up in about 2 weeks. Otherwise, 11 games against losing teams. So it's not like the Red Sox are out of this thing, and they're not running away with this thing. They're just kind of hanging around. They're just chilling. Chilling in wildcard position as of Sunday night. But do you really feel good about the way the Red Sox are playing right now? That's the question. I want to dive into that a little bit and about expectations and disappointments and successes and what is it going to take for you to feel good about this team? That's what I want to get to. So I set the stage. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. Let me tell you real quick, we're brought to you by DirecTV. Does this sound familiar when you only have one device that lets you catch the game live, and then you have another device where you're streaming your TV shows, and you have another device where you can watch a movie or something else on your phone? Well, if you want to get it all in one package and just one device without the hassle, DirecTV Stream is a great way to do it. It brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your sports, your movies, your TV shows all in one place. No more juggling remotes. No more needs to buy another device ever again. And there's no contract like there usually is with the cable company. So get rid of the clubber, get the clutter, get rid of the confusion, get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. If you go to DirecTV.com, you can find out more. DirecTV.com, compatible device required. Content varies by package. So the Red Sox enter the new week now with 81 wins, 64 losses, a 560 win percentage. They're hanging around. They're plus 52 win differential, or run differential, rather. So that's sixth in the American League. And if you look at the National League, there are also five teams better than them. So, I mean, you know, they're what, like the 11th best team in the majors based on run differential? Based on wins, maybe ninth best team in the majors. So they're okay, right? I mean, if you look at on a whole, you know, a lot of people keep saying Cora says this too. If you would have told me on February 8th that this Red Sox team would be in wildcard position with a 560 win percentage on September 13th, would you say that was a good season? Probably. You probably would have said it. But that was on February 8th when the Red Sox were coming off one of the worst seasons they've had in a long time and did not make significant upgrades in the offseason, right? I mean, Garrett Richards and Kike Hernandez were the marquee signings. So, yes, if on February 8th the Red Sox were in this position, would you say it's a successful season? Yeah, you would. Now, is it okay to be disappointed? To be mad? If they fall out of this wild card chase and they don't make the playoffs, people are going to be upset. They're not going to say, hey, this was great. Who cares? You know, we got a better season than we expected. It was supposed to be a bridge year. They made the wild card, whatever. They almost made the wild card. I don't think that's the way it works. And you can't have it both ways, right? I mean, Alex Cora has said it both ways. And a lot of coaches and managers do this, but it's not just Alex Cora. But let's call him out on it for 1 second, right? He said in April, he made a joke that they were the number one team in the majors. There was a time in the middle of the season where he was talking about how good he thought they were. And then they start losing. Now all of a sudden, well, if you told me on February 8th that we'd be in wild card position, I feel pretty good about it. You know, at times during the year, they were not talking about that. They were talking about winning the division. So I think they're changing their expectations too. I think everybody is, right? And Chaim Bloom didn't enter the season expecting to be buying at the trade deadline, and he did. And, you know, we don't have to talk about that again. Did he buy enough? Probably not. But, hey, Hansel Robles, by the way, starting to become a pretty important piece in this bullpen. And if you look at the guy, Hansel Robles was the guy they acquired at like 3:59 p.m. at the trade deadline with a minute to spare. So he's actually, I guess, doing okay. You know, he's still got an ERA over 5, but they're using him a lot. So at least they're getting a guy who throws innings. So I guess that was a good pickup. But what is going to be a successful season for this Red Sox team? Because right now I look at it and I see a Blue Jays team that probably feels really good about themselves for making the comeback that they've made, that made some big acquisitions in July and are now playing really well because of it. And by the way, if you have to face the Blue Jays in the playoffs, scary. Scary. They've got Robbie Ray. They've got Ryu. They got the kid from the Twins that they picked up at the trade deadline. So obviously they have a huge offense. They just crushed the ball. I mean, they put up 18 runs on Sunday. The Blue Jays are scary. So that's a team you don't want to play. The Yankees are falling apart. But if you're the Red Sox, if you're a Red Sox fan, how do you feel good about this? This was a team that was playing extremely well for 3 months. And, you know, we don't have to rehash exactly what happened at the trade deadline, but we could look at the numbers and what's happened since then, and they've been bad. They've been a bad team since then, and I give Alex Cora a lot of credit for managing as well as he did the first few months of the season to put this team in position to make a run. And by the way, I give him a lot of credit for winning those series against bad teams when they were doing it with half their guys on the COVID list. I mean, he bunted 3 times in a game. It was the first time Red Sox bunted 3 times in a game in 30 years. And they won a game with career minor leaguers on this team. So I give Alex Cora a lot of credit for that. But overall, they've stunk since the trade deadline. They are not competitive against good teams. They just aren't. They aren't winning those series. They've only split one. And I know they're in these games sometimes because they have enough talent. It's not an issue of talent. They're just missing pieces. It's not the perfect fit. Oh, today we're going to have an offense-heavy lineup. Well, that means we're going to play bad on defense because Alex Verdugo's in center field, and he's going to make three mistakes in center field today. And, you know, Kike Hernandez has been excellent in center field. He's now moving over second so we can get Schwarber in left field, and Kike's going to make pretty much a game-losing error on Sunday. I wouldn't call it a routine play to his left. There was a shift. It was a difficult play, but he fielded it cleanly. All he had to do was throw it to first base, and he fumbled it. No, sorry, he didn't fumble it. He threw it away, and that's how the White Sox scored the first run. The Red Sox came back off Kimbrel in the ninth, plated one, tied it, and then Garrett Whitlock, who has not pitched on back-to-back days all season because they've been protecting him. He's a kid. He's coming off Tommy John. He's a rookie. He has not pitched on back-to-back days all season, and Garrett Whitlock is summoned, which, by the way, the right move, I thought, by Alex Cora to bring on Whitlock in the ninth inning on Sunday because they're trying to win that game. It's a winnable game. You know, the White Sox obviously didn't want to use Hendricks. That's why Kimbrel was closing the game. Kimbrel was burned. Hendricks was out. They didn't have their best relievers available. That was a winnable game. So Alex Cora brings in Whitlock, gets two quick outs, goes ahead 0-2 on, who was it? Garcia, I believe. And just throws a fastball right down the middle of the plate. Just a bad pitch. And it's not Whitlock. It's not just Whitlock who's doing this. It's, you know, Garrett Richards just left one right over the heart of the plate in a key spot on Saturday. Connor Siebold obviously really struggled on Saturday. Ryan Brazier, it looks like they rushed this guy back. I mean, I don't know how they expect him to get outs with the stuff he's working with right now. Not non-competitive is how I would describe the pitches he threw on Saturday. But there seems to be a lack of confidence in this team or a lack of focus right now, or something's not quite right. Because even though you have guys like Nathan Eovaldi and Hunter Renfroe and Bobby Dalbec who are playing out of their minds right now, who are as good as they've ever been in their careers, they can win a few games, right? I mean, Hunter Renfroe single-handedly won them a game this week. Nathan Eovaldi has done that. Bobby Dalbec has done that. So they can win games with huge individual performances. But are they a team? Are they a good team? Do they play team baseball? Do they have what it takes to beat a good team in the playoffs? It doesn't seem like that's happening. That's not what we've seen from them over the last 6 weeks. So are you going to be disappointed if they miss the playoffs? Of course. Are you going to be disappointed if they lose the wild card game? Of course. I'm getting a little tired of hearing if you would have told me on February 10th and, you know, the people on Twitter who love doing this. They love to go back to see what I wrote and to see what all the other writers wrote in February and March. Well, you picked the Red Sox to finish in fourth. I did. I did pick the Red Sox to finish in fourth. I picked them to win 74 games because I thought their pitching would fall apart. Because I thought Nathan Eovaldi would probably get hurt. Just statistically, the odds are he probably will. He usually does. Garrett Richards, not a model of perfect health. Surprisingly, both of them have stayed healthy. Obviously, Richards has not been good, but he's stayed healthy. And so is Eovaldi. There were so many risks. That's why we picked them to win 74 games. And I stand by that. I thought that was a fine prediction. Maybe a little low. I know some people give me crap. Everybody seemed to be picking them to win between 78 and 82 games. But I thought they'd have some injury issues, and they'd end up just going to the young guys in September and end up around 74 wins. I don't think that was a bad prediction. I think Alex Cora managed circles around people the first few months of the season. I think he got the best out of guys, as he usually does. And he had a team that was severely less talented than most teams on most days, winning games, winning close games, winning come-from-behind games, winning extra inning games. They don't do that anymore. They're not winning these close games against good teams. They're losing them. It's the other teams who are winning the come-from-behind games against them late because they don't have a bullpen right now. And again, give Cora credit. He's the guys he's bringing in out of relief. I mean, Michael Feliz was released by the Cincinnati Reds 2 weeks ago and picked up. And this is Cora used him twice this weekend. I mean, give the guy credit. He's managing with the roster that he has, but it's not a great roster right now. And it's not just because of COVID. And if people use COVID as an excuse as why the Red Sox season fell apart, I think that's wrong. I don't think that's right. Because they didn't have any COVID until August 26th. I mean, yeah, there was some COVID here and there. But Kike didn't get COVID until August 26th. That started the run of everyone getting COVID. And what happened? What happened from like July 28th until August 26th? They were terrible. So it wasn't COVID. It wasn't COVID. So we're going to finish up on this in a bit. I got a few more thoughts I want to share. So stick around for the third segment. We are brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is my favorite protein bar, my favorite on-the-run snack. If you don't got time, you're running out the door, you forgot to eat lunch, you don't have, you know, the dog's driving you nuts, as my dog usually is. Love her, but she's driving me nuts. You need a quick snack. Built Bar is the way to go. 18 grams of protein in most of these. You only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, so you don't have to worry about that. Barely any carbs, if you're counting your carbs. 130 to 180 calories, and you get your protein. You get your substance. It's just, and it's delicious. It really is. You can try all the flavors. I like the cookies and cream is a good one. Mint brownie's pretty solid. If you haven't tried it, get the mix box. You get two of each of the 9 flavors. Order today. It's builtbar.com. Sorry, it's built.com. Built.com. You use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. It's a great deal. You get 15% off everything you buy. Promo code LOCKED15 at built.com. All right, well, the final segment, we always do our unpopular opinions and end the show on a positive note. So, you know, my unpopular opinion today, and I thought about this for a little while, is, and I do believe it, really, is that the Red Sox were playing better baseball when they had most of their team on the COVID list. If you look at, like, 2 weeks ago, when they had a large majority of their important players on the, I think it was the max they've had on at once, I think is 11. They've had on it on the COVID list at once. But if you look, I remember that Saturday game where they bunted 3 times, and I will talk about this game forever because I thought it was one of the better games I've seen Alex Cora manage. If you think about how little talent they had at this point in the season and what he did with it, how impressive it was to bunt 3 times. They were playing with Jack Lopez, Jonathan Aruz. The two of them bunted 3 times in this game. I thought they were playing really well because, and Alex Verdugo said it best. You know, he said they were playing team baseball. They were playing pass the baton baseball. Get it to the next guy. Just make contact. Get it to the next guy. Push a runner over, advance him 90 feet. Just perfect. You know, I love that. And maybe I'm a snob. I like National League baseball. I grew up watching the Mets. You know, I grew up in New York. So I like that style of baseball. I get it. It's not for everybody. But if you think about playing as a team, playing good defense, and winning games by doing the little things right, that's what the Red Sox were doing a couple weeks ago. What'd they do on Sunday? Even Kyle Schwarber on Sunday struck out 3 times. He's chasing pitches. It looks, that was the first time I looked at Kyle Schwarber and said, yep, this is a guy who is trying to do everything, trying to save this team on his own. No JD in the lineup, no Bogarts in the lineup on Sunday. Bogarts had a day off because he came off the COVID list Friday, played 2 games. They wanted to give him a day off. Who knows? Is he not feeling well? Is he tired? Did they rush him back? Should he not even be back yet? I mean, it's surprising to me he'd play 2 games and then they'd say he needs a day off already. That's a little bit interesting to me. Like, what's going on? Should they not have even brought him back? I don't know. But I thought Schwarber's at-bats on Sunday were different than most of his at-bats that we've seen, where it looked to me like he was like, you know what? I got to do everything. It's a 1-run game. We don't have a few of our best players. I've got to take control of this thing. And he was swinging at pitches he doesn't usually swing at. 0 for 4, 3 strikeouts. But just look at the lineup and what they're doing right now. And I think there's a couple people still trying to play the team baseball. Even Verdugo has been great at it. I think Verdugo over the last month and a half has really been as good as he's been all season. I thought he's had a pretty bad season overall. The numbers aren't bad, though, because he's playing much better the last month and a half offensively. You know, defensively, he was much better last year, no question. He settled into right field last year and just played really well. You know, I don't think he's been great in left field this year. He's obviously not been very good in center, although he made a nice catch Saturday. But he had an important sacrifice fly in the ninth to extend this game. He had a big hit on Saturday. I think he had a big hit on Friday, too, if I remember right. He said some big hits, just line drives, singles, move the runner over, sack fly, do what you're supposed to do in that spot. A lot of this team, a lot of the guys on this team in this lineup don't do that. And so I think they were actually playing better baseball when they had some of those guys, when they had Jack Lopez here, when they had Jonathan Arruz here, when it was a just get it to the next guy mentality. We don't need to hit homers. We don't need to hit doubles. Just get it to the next guy. I thought they were playing better than they have been lately. So that's my unpopular opinion today. What's it going to take for them to turn it around? They're fine. I mean, they're not out of it. They're in it. You know, as I'm looking right now, they're in it. It depends what the Yankees do in the late game on Sunday, if it's a three-way tie or a two-way tie. But the Red Sox are in this thing. They got to play better, but they've got an easy schedule, and they got three against the Yankees. They got three against the Mariners. They control their own destiny here. They're in this thing. But I don't feel good about the way they're playing. I can't imagine a lot of people do. They're playing fine. They're playing okay. They had four hits on Sunday. You know, good for Nick Pivetta, by the way. I didn't mention him yet, but coming off the COVID list, he looked great. I mean, they only let him go five and a third innings, and Kike made a huge error that pretty much ruined his day. But Pivetta looked great coming off the COVID list, which is a good sign for them. They're obviously really short on pitchers right now. So my overall, don't feel great about the way they're playing. They're okay. They're fine. They're in position. You don't feel great. You don't feel bad. It's like they are what they are. They're not very exciting. They're not very interesting. They're okay. They're the 11th best team in baseball. You know, that's exactly where they should be. It's just a matter of, are you disappointed? Was this season better than you thought it was? Probably. But are you disappointed in the way it's going? Probably. And I think you're allowed to be. I think you're allowed to be disappointed while also being grateful that, hey, they made it interesting. You know, it's better than last year. Last year was terrible. Unwatchable last year. But you're still allowed to be disappointed in what's gone on in the last 6 weeks, because they're just not playing well. They're not beating good teams. And it shows. All right, we always end the show on a positive note. So I know I've used this one a lot lately, but I got to go back to Bobby Dalbec, because I've really kind of poo-pooed on his defense lately. I think even though he's been hot at the plate the last month and a half, he's made a lot of defensive mistakes. I think he's gotten a lot better. I think he's gotten a lot better at first base last month. The confident, he seems to be unquestionably a confidence player. He's a feel player. He even said as much. He said, the reason I'm playing so good right now, I stopped focusing on mechanics. I'm taking less swings in the cage. I'm going to the cage less. I'm looking at my mechanics less. I'm worrying about it less. I'm studying it less. I'm just doing less. And he's that kind of player. I think there's a lot of players like this where information overload kills them. It hurts them. They don't want it. They don't need it. Dalbec is clearly the type of player. He goes on feel. He goes on confidence. All of a sudden he's hitting. He's confident again. He's playing better defense. How about 2 months ago? I've never seen a player with that little confidence before. Offensively, defensively, he had none. No confidence. Now all of a sudden he looks like a confident player. He's playing good defense again. He looks great out there in defense. And so that's my positive takeaway. And I'm going to go one further here. Maybe it's a little crazy, but if you want to get a little nutty with me. If Dalbec, you can't take Dalbec on the lineup right now, obviously. I think they took him out of the lineup when Kike came back that first game, and it was like, what? He came in the game in the eighth inning and hit two homers, and I believe, someone will correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he started every game since then. You can't take him out of the lineup. So how do you get your other guys in the lineup? All right, here's an idea, real quick, before we wrap up. How about Devers at second base? They're already doing it late in games anyways. He basically plays over there in the shift anyways. They move him kind of over to shortstop. Sometimes he's on the second base side of the bag. Why? Just try him there. What do you got to lose? Kike's best position's in center field. We know that. He's not playing well at second base right now. Coming into this season, they said he's a really good second baseman. I think that's probably true. All the numbers said, you know, the anecdotes, people said he was great at second base. He hasn't played great at second base for the Red Sox, but I think he's been great at center field. And you don't have a great center fielder besides him. It's got to be him. Get Kike from second to center. Why not try Devers at second? I'd love to see it. If not this series, how about against the Orioles? Give him a shot. Because then you could have Dalbec play third, and then you could have Schwarber play first. And Dalbec, by the way, is a good third baseman. We've seen it in his limited opportunities over there. He's been good. He played third base throughout the minor leagues. He's good. He's a good third baseman. And it's not like Devers is playing great over there. He made a huge error. I mean, he's got, what, 20 errors this year? Maybe more? It's not like Devers is playing a great third base. I bet you he could play second just fine. I mean, the throws are what kills him. He makes so many bad throws over there. Or the transfer, because he's rushing himself. I bet you he could play second just fine. I bet you he'd be a fine second baseman. The only thing you got to wonder is, can he turn a double play? He's turned it from the shortstop side. We've seen that on the shift. But could he turn a double play? That's where you wonder. And now, is he going to get hurt because he's not handling it well? He's not moving well? That's the one. I totally get that. If that's your concern, get it. But they're using him in second late in the game sometimes anyways. Eh, give him a start there. Work him out there a little bit. See how he feels turning double plays. Then Dalbec goes to third. Schwarber goes to first. Kike goes to center. Verdugo goes back to left. Hey, now you've got a good defensive alignment maybe. And you still get all your best players in the lineup. Just a thought. Just a thought. I know this isn't fantasy baseball. These guys are humans. They're not robots. Maybe that messes them up. Who knows? But just an idea. So we'll end the show on that note. You can follow me on Twitter at JMasterDonato. You can read my stuff in the Boston Herald. Of course, please check it out there. My co-host, Lauren Campbell, will probably be back in 2 days, I believe. You can check her stuff out on Nesson. You could follow us on the Locked On Red Sox Twitter account. Just Google Locked On Red Sox. You find the links. Leave us a review. It always helps us out a lot. Let us know what you think. If you got any suggestions, reach out. Subscribe, follow, all that good stuff. We appreciate it. We'll be back on Tuesday. Thanks for stopping by, spending your Monday with us on the Locked On Red Sox podcast. We're brought to you by the Locked On Bets podcast as well. Betting on the Red Sox or anything you're betting on doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, they give you all their picks and specials. It's a good thing if you're into betting. Check it out. It's always good to hear what other people are looking at. The Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts.